Podcast.
Are we saying podcast?
Welcome back to Fanboys and a Filthy Casual. Coming back at you once again live. This is Dennis.
This is Lewis.
This is Harold.
Is it technically live?
I was going to say, how is it live if we recorded this before?
That's true.
It's live for whoever's listening.
It's live for us.
At yes. their moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
At this moment, it's happening
at this
deep
moment,
in their hearts.
I don't know. Sorry.
The oceans.
Something like that.
Well, you guys are combining sounds like
that. I was going for Celine Dion.
That's what I was doing too.
I thought you were doing the Bette Midler from a distance.
Oh, yeah. It was. My bad.
Harold's about to auto-tune it too.
Like, I think he just did.
I was trying to figure out you guys' remix. Who would have thought of remixing Celine Dion and
Bette Midler? Celine Dion, same person, right? Nose. Okay. So, wow, epic opening, guys. So today we're going to start off. So, for those people who just heard that, Lewis, we're going to talk about Lewis's superpower.
Okay.
Lewis's superpower.
A terrible power.
For those people who are listening right now, please make sure that Lewis never watches any show that you like, because any show that Lewis comes into that's already been established and he watches it, at least season afterwards, it gets canceled. For example, Lewis.
Game of Thrones,
mm-hmm.
Daredevil,
mm-hmm.
Let's keep going.
Jessica Jones. Netflix movies?
All the Netflix shows.
What's that one that just happened? The recent one where we started clowning them. Besides Archer. Something else.
I don't remember.
One of those Fox ones?
Oh, yeah, The Gifted. Yeah, it's okay, done.
Yeah.
Damn it. I like The Gifted. It got canceled.
And so my theory is
Legion,
that,
also done.
Oh, wow, dude.
Freaking it. I know. The cemetery is growing.
So
guys.
It's a good thing you stopped watching The Flash.
Oh, maybe that's why it's going.
That's the only reason why it's
and
around.
Just keep your hands off The Flash.
I know.
That's funny. Phrasing. And so the reason why we're saying this is that, Lewis has finally jumped on board and is finally watching Archer.
Yes.
So, Lewis, what do you think so far?
I love Archer. I've been binging it on Hulu since. Binging it, sorry.
Oh, he's binging it.
I'm binging you guys. From season one, this is like a 10-year-old cartoon or show. Great humor. Great chemistry, great canon, actually. It's one of those few cartoons where it's not just like an episodic kind of like gag a minute kind of thing. Like, it definitely has a great payoff for those who started from the, or, if you watch it from the beginning, a lot of the small little jokes they introduced in the first season pays off in the second, pays off in the third, fourth, and fifth, so forth and so on. And not to mention building a lot of great character moments. It's such a good show.
Lana!
I can't wait for it to keep going like The Simpsons. Right? Right?
Well, supposedly, there's a chance that they might actually extend it. There's a small chance for it. So I'm glad that you're into the Archer fold.
Yes.
It took you a while.
I know. Dennis has been
Took you a while to get into Arrested Development, and then you liked it.
And then.
I'm sorry,
you're right. Damn it. Got to end right soon.
Stop it. Oh, my God.
Stop it.
It's been that long.
So what I told Lewis is Lewis is the Drake of television shows. That if he likes it and if he backs it, it's gonna lose.
If I jump on that bandwagon,
dude,
I'm also the Drake
the
of
Clippers.
English. Oh God.
Yeah,
you are the reason why the Clippers never made it past the second round, dude.
Yeah. And then when he started becoming a Laker fan, that's when everything went
to hell.
Felt the hell.
Yeah,
I'm so sorry, everyone.
Dude, stay. I mean,
quick, say you want the
I like the Heat.
No,
you like Warriors.
Let's go Warriors.
Yeah,
I'm with you on this one, John and Mike. Yeah, let's go teams. Yeah. Is that what they say? I don't know.
You have to say the word Dubs somewhere. BT dubs.
Say they're hella dubs.
Hella champs dubs.
That's a thing, right?
I don't know. I don't know.
You have to say hella. Since this is a PG cast, it's
hecka. Yes, there you go.
Hecka dubs.
Hecka dubs.
Okay. So today we're going to be starting off our podcast with a little bit of news. You know, it's been a while since we've done it. Phrasing. And, you know, I kind of wanted to talk about a couple of things before we move forward. So first and foremost, one of the bigger news that happened last week is that Robert Pattinson has mostly, for the most part, been approved. That's the way they've said it. Like,
yeah.
Almost officially.
Yeah.
So, you know, we kind of touched upon this, you know, now that we've had some time to kind of stew over the thought of a, you know, a Batman.
Batman? Is that really a thing?
Yeah, the Batfleck, you know.
Oh, I see. Yeah,
so
yes.
We have to kind of come up with something for it. So what do you think of a possible Batman or, let's see,
Robin. Robin is a little too on the nose. Turns out the full name of Robert Pattinson.
So what do you guys
think? I think I'm going to have to be down with it and just see where it goes.
Wait, down as in
dubs, let's go. dab. So hip. I think my son is cringing upstairs in a room somewhere.
He's sneezing.
What's going on?
He's like, why is my ear all of a sudden burning? Is my dad trying to be hip in another room?
He's trying too hard.
Like all of a sudden, he's like watching. He's like playing video games. He's like, "Why is my face going to my elbow? Am I dabbing? Why am I dabbing?
This wasn't cool." Anyway, I think I'm cool with it. Like I like. Let's see where this goes with this. Part of me feels like I'm getting a little bit more of a sense of confidence from the DCWB, you know, brain trust over there, especially with how Shazam's performed
and Shazam!
And Aquaman and Wonder Woman, and not to mention, I mean, at this time, you know, the new Joker movie hasn't come out yet, but from the trailers, you know, Joaquin Phoenix looks like a really good Joker in that version, in this version of this new Joker, you know, so I kind of have a little bit of faith. So I mean, it seems to be like they're on a streak, so let's see where this goes. I know he's not the conventional idea or the, you know, visage of Bruce Wayne or Batman, but you know what, we've had a history of doing that. I think, to be honest, I think Christian Bale was the only one that was cast from the beginning that everybody's like, yeah, this is a great idea. Literally, I think, you know, that leaves 80% of the other casting choices being, you know, kind of questioned, but you know, for the most part they performed, except for I think George Clooney, but I don't think that was his fault per se. I think that was more of a you know, director's choice kind of thing, putting nipples on Batsuit, and yeah, that was not a good idea. But anyway, I'm down for this one. Let's see where it goes. Hopefully, we get some, you know, rumors, or at least let's see what the ideas are for the script or what this movie's going to be like. Because if it's just another run-of-the-mill superhero Batman kind of movie, I don't think it'll do that well. Because, you know, I know I just said Aquaman and Shazam did perform well, but I think it's because those are brand new properties, you know, like, seeing Shazam and Aquaman do their heroics is kind of a novel thing. It's new. You've never seen underwater adventures. We've never seen a young boy as a superhero. Those are fun. We've seen Batman do his Batman thing for, what, 20 years now? Since Michael Keaton...
Keaton.
You know, Mike Keaton.
He said Keaton. The Ben Wagon.
It's a bad day today, guys. Yeah. But anyway, so yeah, let's see where this goes.
H.
The band back all the way from my fucking talk.
I get best dude. I don't know. I mean, I'm always willing to give, like, as much as I always say that the casting that I hated the most was Affleck for it, because when the actor is almost as big as the role itself, it's always difficult.
Yeah.
And it
like
was
like William Smith.
Yeah. Like having William Smith as the genius.
Yeah.
I don't know if we can extend genie, but, it kind of takes away from the part. And then this one is kind of weird because you have an actor who hasn't done a lot of work in a long time. And the thing that he's always going to be memorable or remembered for is being a vampire, like an emo vampire. So that's kind of what Batman is an emo vampire.
Yep.
You know, but with a cowl. So and you, I don't know. I just had to see how I need to see what the work looks like. Hopefully he's given some good material. And then, you know, I'm always willing to give people a chance when it comes to casting. Until I see the product, and then I can crap all over it.
Speaking of possible news, just yesterday I was reading it that there's already been kind of leaked idea for the new movie that that Batman. I'm shipping.
Is it Robert Pattinson being Ben Affleck?
You got to pay extra for Batman.
Sounds painful. No, supposedly they're going to do a... originally, they were talking about just doing a Batman movie, but it turns out that there's a possibility that whether it's a main character or it's a side story, that they're going to be doing a Robin.
Oh, okay, okay.
So what do you guys think, the possibility of that happening?
That Kellan Lutz guy from Twilight? Just kidding. Sorry, that's just me fan. Casting now.
Well, the fact that you...
I don't remember who that was.
The werewolf guy. Come on, man. I've never seen the movies.
Right.
Right. Shush. Okay. Is it going to be like an origin of Robin kind of story? Because that would be a really good... I feel like that would be a really good story. Because I think they tried to do that for the Batman Forever version, right? With Val Kilmer.
Ooh, that was bad.
Yeah, where they introduced like a teenage guy who he's like, he's 40. He was like, that Robin has like stubble and like a drinking problem. But anyway, it'll be really interesting because I think, you know, not to mix media too many times, but or too much. But, you know, Batman, the animated series had a really great, you know, Dick Grayson origin story for Robin, which was really involved. It was a very gritty kind of like noirish story. I mean, I know the animated series was all about that aesthetic, but this one was like extra noir. So, you know, it had gangsters, it had, you know, a detective story, it had revenge, it was very, you know, dark and somber. So I it would be really interesting if they pulled this off, because I don't think they pulled off like a really humane Batman yet. Part of me feels like, I can't remember who's directing this movie again. Matt Riddle. Sorry.
He's going to do it with no shoes on?
Yeah. He did great in NXT. Yeah. But, you know, it's kind of like if they did like how they did Casino Royale, how they kind of brought James Bond back down to earth. If they did this for this kind of Batman, I know Batman Begins did a really great job of doing that as well. But if they, you know, kind of injected that kind of humanity into it, it would be a really good product. So
I think a good Robin origin story would actually be really refreshing for the series, because they've never had a really good one. I mean, Chris O'Donnell,
that's his name.
Yeah, he had an earring. That was it. But he was literally like 5 years younger than
Gordon Love. Gordon Love Hewitt.
JGL. Yes, Gordon Love Hewitt. Who another couple were shipping.
It was a great baby.
Beautiful baby.
I was going to call him Jeff Gordon Levin. So he does NASCAR at the same time. But, even that, like, having a Robin that's almost the same age as Batman, it doesn't do as well as a good dynamic. But I think it's a dynamic that they've done, obviously, where literally, Chris O'Donnell and Val Kilmer, you know, none of them are getting carded when they're going to a bar. And then Clooney and him, it's like, you know, they're looking for who their kids are in that party. Like, for the first time, let's have, you know, like almost a kid.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, about to trigger Dennis here, but I would love to see somebody like a Tom Holland play the part of a Robin, like a young teenage kid, like who actually looks like...
Oh, the guy from Aladdin, you should do him.
Oh, yeah. Ooh.
So then we can both eat the movie.
So, but that's the thing, though. Again, I pointed out it before. Spider-Man. Tom Holland, who knows? But although I did see that new trailer, and part of me wanted to shoot something already.
So. Throw your remote.
Is it because he's doing an American accent?
Yeah, like, dude, why can't you do your regular voice?
He's a voice actor.
I can understand Spider-Man, you know.
Kid from Brooklyn.
Can't be British, but dude, come on.
Well, what if they had Chris Pratt do a British accent?
I'm not even talking to you right now. So next one. Kind of jumping on to, oh, good one.
Yeah. Let's move onward.
Yeah. Moving to Disney, I guess. There's a bunch of Disney news that just came out. First and foremost, you know, people have been talking about the possibility of there being like a long hiatus for Star Wars. And it's been announced that, yes, there's going to be a hiatus. The next one is going to be 2021.
And long-ish.
Pretty much every other year, there's going to be a new, you know, there's going to be a trilogy. And then after that, so starting 2021 for 10 years, every other year, there's going to be a new Star Wars movie. Your thoughts, Harold?
Harold's already shaking his head.
I mean, the last time I saw you this, your head shaking this much was... either a rock concert or you were thinking of
Aladdin.
Auto-tuned.
And Aladdin auto-tuned. I think when we watched Solo last year, we were already in that era of, like, and they use that term a lot, was Star Wars fatigue. For me, and we're going to talk about this later too, is the specialty of the whole Star Wars thing was literally three movies that came out when we were young and then nothing. For 16 years.
Right, yeah.
Not even a mention of like, hey, and then, I mean, well, obviously they did the special editions, but besides that, there was never talk of new movies from when we were kids all the way up until, you know, teenagers.
Yeah.
And then the break between, you know, Revenge of the Sith 2005 all the way 10 years until The Force Awakens. And the fact that The Force Awakens wasn't a sequel to that trilogy, but the original trilogy. So, you know, that goes, you know, however far that is. That was like the special, like what made everything so special was like the waiting time to get new material that continued the things. And then we got what I think is what they should really do is animated shows, small shows where it's like you can continue the Star Wars universe, but keep it on a small screen where people can consume it, and if they choose to, and then if they don't, then you know they can always catch up on things.
It's interesting because I totally agree with what Harold said. I mean, the scarcity, I mean the novelty of not seeing a Star Wars story for a while and then bombarded by five movies in 4 years or something like that. Because you brought up Solo, because after Solo, before Solo, Last Jedi was only seven months before that. And I know, I mean, not to sound too corporate or whatnot, but I see what Disney's doing. I mean, they bought the Star Wars license for a pretty penny, and they're trying to make the most out of it. Obviously, not just in the movies, but, you know, every Disney store and every theme park they have, they're revisiting everything to make sure like they squeeze every lightsaber out there for every child. But
phrasing.
Oh, yikes. Awkward phrasing. But I think it'd be good. I think it'd be great if they did it like every other year. I mean, I guess what makes the MCU so freaking unique is that they can crank out two movies a year. And, you know, there's still no letting up. You're guaranteed a really good movie. And, you know, the box office is going to show for those Marvel movies. So, 2 years, I think, will be good. And I agree with Harold. I think with Disney Plus coming out, not to mention all their reach into ABC and all those stuff, they're going to have avenues to let these smaller shows, smaller stories let out. I mean, Mandalorian is one of those shows that's coming out for Disney Plus, so that'll be a nice little side sequel or side story that they can tell in the universe. So we're looking forward to seeing more of that.
Going along with the topic, it's been revealed that there are actually not just one set of trilogy, because Rian Johnson was already kind of assigned after Last Jedi. They were already talking about Rian Johnson being helming a trilogy.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Game of Thrones brothers are actually going to be doing another trilogy. Yeah. Now, what's cool about that is that supposedly Rian Johnson is going to be doing the after, like, in a post Skywalker family, so it's going to be in the future.
Okay.
But the Game of Thrones people, there's already been talks that most likely they're going to be doing Knights of the Old Republic.
Yeah, I'm down with that. You were I'm glad you brought that up, because when that rumor came out, you know, it triggered a nice fun little memory, because Knights of the Old Republic was one of the first games you gifted me years ago on the Xbox. I love that game. I love the lore. I love the twist in that game. I don't know if they're going to be able to emulate that that 20-year spoiler that, you know, the Jedi in training turns out to be the bad guy at the end. So, you know, it'll be a really good story. I think, I mean, if anything, I know the, you know, the D&D, that's the creators from Game of Thrones, they haven't exactly got the best of reps right now after Game of Thrones is wrapped up. But, you know, I'm looking forward to what they can pull off. I know there's a lot of questions about the quality, but, you know, we'll see what they can do under the helm of, you know, they have the direction of Kathleen Kennedy.
Yeah. Kennedy.
You know, she's running a pretty tight ship from what I see, and we'll see what they pull off.
I don't know. I really think that they need to take their time with these things, where they actually had, like, because those guys from Game of Thrones had 2 years to create their final series, final season, and it disappointed almost every other fan that was out there. Imagine the fandom of Star Wars fans compared to Game of Thrones fans, and imagine making those guys angry.
Yeah, that could be.
You know, like it took them 20 years to get the hatred from, you know, Phantom Menace out of people's systems, and people still hate that series, or hate that movie in particular, that original trilogy, you know. But yeah, if they take their time, craft beautiful stories, things that actually make sense and make people want to continue watching these things, then I'm okay with that.
Last bit of news, and again, we're since our next topic is going to be Disney, you know, ever since the Fox deal with Disney, there's been a lot of movies that have been thrown into the slate. I don't know if you guys heard about this, but 2021, expect Bob's Burger, the movie, to be coming out.
Wow, okay. Really?
Personally, I don't know anything about Bob's Burger, aside from I don't like it so far.
I can't even say anything because they're going to cancel it. I hate you guys. Because I do like that show. I like it so much.
Oh, it's dead.
I'm sorry, H. John Benjamin, all of your jobs.
I ruined both of your shows. No, don't start liking Arby's all of a sudden. I mean, Arby's the sandwich, not the guy.
Not the guy.
We don't need that guy canceled.
That guy's cool. okay, I'm sorry, you were saying, so Bob's Burger, the movie, that'd be interesting. Is it going to be animated? Or
it's going to be animated. Okay. In the vein of Simpsons. It's just going to be an extended episode.
Like a standalone, longer episode. Okay, I'm down with that. I think that's interesting, though, because, I totally forget that when they acquired all those facts. Wow! All those Fox.
The facts!
All those Fox cartoons. You got The Simpsons, you got Family Guy, you have Bob's Burger. That'll be really great to see how they can keep going, keep the... part of me is concerned that, you know, a lot of the what made Bob's Burger so unique and kind of fun is going to be lost under the watchful eye of the mouse. You know, hopefully they can kind of keep that edginess. I mean, it's not going to be as edgy as, you know, South Park or that kind of stuff. But at least, you know, hopefully they can keep their wit sharp or the jokes on point. And, you know, we'll see how it is. I mean, Simpsons, if that's any kind of warning for us, it will just be a long episode. There's nothing going to be too groundbreaking. It'll just be like a thing. And, you know, it'll be somebody on our collecting desk and on our shelves when it comes out. So,
as long as it's better than the Family Guy movie, because that was super disappointing.
Was there a Family Guy movie?
Was a Family Guy movie?
Yeah, you never saw the Family Guy
movie? I never did.
The one where Stewie goes back in time.
Oh, that was a multi-part.
No, like, that was a movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that.
That's exactly how I'm going to feel about it, is if they're just going to do an extended episode, fine. But... I think it hasn't built up the fan base or the loyalty enough from, like, how Simpsons fans were to get people to watch it in the theater. So, good luck to them. But.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and I think we're going to use this as the starting point for our next, you know, our topic. Because, you know, it seemed like, at least just based on listening to you guys, there's at least one... you know, comment or two that was repeated over and over again, and the somebody actually used the word cash grab, you know, and it seems like ever since Fox News, you know, paid billions of dollars to get the Star Wars license. Fox News, sorry,
Rupert Disney, Murdoch.
Disney bought Star Wars license. Then Disney bought the Fox license. It seems like now they're trying to recoup. You know, and I think that's where I want to kind of turn our attention to. You know, it's interesting that we talked about Simpsons movie. One of my favorite lines in the Simpsons movie is Bart is, you know, hanging from the train, and he has like the bra on his head, and he goes, "Look, Ma, I'm a character for an evil corporation." And in some ways, it seems like, at least for some fans, and I have to admit, the reason why I kind of wanted to talk about this is I'm starting to become one of those people where it's, you know, where I'm all of a sudden seeing Disney in a different light. And I know Disney has always been for profit. That's the only reason why Disney is around. But, you know, because of the movies, because of the theme parks and everything, at least in the past, there's always been something magical about it. There's always been something about whimsical about it. But it just seems like ever since we've acquired Star Wars, ever since we've acquired Fox, you know, and Marvel, it just seems like it's all of a sudden just becoming a money grab. And in particular, the one thing I wanted to talk about was Disneyland. Now, Lewis kind of pointed out that his friend actually was able to get into the new, you know, section of Star Wars. Yeah. So, Lou, if you want to kind of expand on that.
Yeah, so, you know, at the time of when this podcast drops, Galaxy's Edge will have gone live, or, you know, have opened up for everybody for at least a couple of days, a couple of weeks. Galaxy's Edge, the new land, quote unquote, in Disneyland in Anaheim. You know, this is a big deal. I mean, they've been talking about this since last year. You know, ever since they covered up, or they tarped up that area years ago, you know, all the Disney blogs and everybody been talking about what's going to go up there. What are they going to start doing? And every like morsel of information and news has been picked to death. So yeah, for Galaxy's Quest, or Galaxy's Quest, wow, Galaxy's Edge, you know, for the first few days.
Like Raptar's Hammer.
Dennis would go to that land.
He would be there today. He would be living there. You know, for just to get to this new land, you had to have RSVP'd months ago for a, you know, an online auction or an online lottery, basically, and hoping to get in there just to see the place. And from what I understand, it's not even fully operational. I mean, there's no rides that are running yet except
There are two rides.
Okay.
There's two rides that's going to be in there. One of the rides is actually open.
Okay,
that's the other one's not going to be opening for at least another half a year.
Wow. So that's how much, I mean, that just shows you how much hype this new place has gotten, that even at half or, you know, three quarters operations, they're able to get, you know, muster this much attention. So, you know, you get to hang out, I guess, at the Millennium Falcon, you drive it around or some.
That's the ride.
Okay, so that's
the ride that's actually open. From what I've heard, the ride itself is you and five other people get in the Millennium Falcon. One person gets to be the driver.
Okay.
Two people get to be the gunners. Two people get to be the engineer.
Okay.
And so the ride is kind of like a Star Tours mixed with, you know, with like the action.
Okay. So it's a little more active Star Tours. So yeah, and then not to mention, like, there's all sorts of new food fairs there. I mean, Coke even released a new bottle just for this area, if I'm not mistaken. And, you know, not to mention us, you know, older folks here, we were kind of excited to hear that for the first time, you know, even if I'm not mistaken, against Walt Disney's own wishes, they're actually going to be serving alcohol at this part of Disneyland, yeah. Correct? So, which is a kind of a big change because, yeah, like I mentioned, Walt Disney, I think one of his edicts from decades ago before his passing is he wanted Disneyland to be alcohol free and for families. So, you know, this would be a change of pace. And part of me feels like it is a huge, huge, huge cash grab. Like Dennis alluded to earlier, a big part of me thinks that, you know, they have this huge license that they paid billions of dollars for that, if I'm not mistaken, I mean, they've kind of already paid off with the movies, but they're just trying to get, you know, they're trying to get money hand over fist by expanding operations at Disneyland and, you know, adding a whole new dimension for people to drop a lot more money on, a lot of merchandise and a lot of attention for. So, yeah. So that's it. Galaxy's Edge opening now. Opening this year.
Yeah.
And then I think fully operational by this Christmas, if I'm not correct. Yeah. Okay. There you go. Harold, have you been to Disneyland lately?
Yeah. yes, I have. The novelty of the thing right now, of Galaxy's Edge, is the fact that it is a live action, or not live action, but placing yourself into the sets.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Which is an interesting concept, but for right now, it seems that there's no follow-through. Dennis mentions that there's one ride. What's the one ride that they have
now? It's the Millennium Falcon.
Is that a ride?
It's a ride. It's it's again, it's from what I've understood, it's like a Star Tours type ride.
Okay.
So it's separate from the actual Millennium Falcon. So there's the Millennium Falcon that you see from the outside, yeah, but you don't actually get to tour around it.
Oh.
What the hell is this thing for? Disappointment just washed over Harold's face.
Okay, well, seen... so here's the thing. So okay. I guess you were talking about, you know, getting into the set. What they've done is they've actually transformed this area so it will feel like once you walk in, I guess that's where the whole you need to get permission to get in there, is that once you get in there, you're immersed as if you are in a planet from Star Wars. So you'll have, you know, supposedly, like the people that are there are not just employees anymore. They're actually actors. Oh. So during the whole thing, you'll see stormtroopers walk by, and then somebody's actually some of the employees are actually going to play parts. Like, hey, hide me! You know, I'm from the rebellion. You got to help hide me from the stormtroopers type thing. So they're really trying to immerse you.
Okay.
But the other thing though is that, and again. Again, I hate to keep on using the word cash trap, is that, you know, the other things that you have there is that now they have like the specific places that is, you know, that you really just go there for, just for purchasing stuff. Yeah, like one of the things that everybody's talking about and is that if you've ever been to Universal Studios, the Harry Potter Wizarding World, mm-hmm, where it's kind of like that, but a little bit more immersive. And so there's one section there supposedly where it's kind of like Ollivander's, where you're able to get there. You have to pay $200 to get into this one thing. Now, $200, you get to create your own lightsaber that's supposedly better quality than the plastic ones that you've had. But, you know, kind of like Ollivander's, there's like a little process. You know, you get to find out, what's your affinity? Are you a dark side or your light side? And depending on your affinity to it, you get different parts and everything. And so that's what I've been reading. The funny part is that there was a blogger talk about, you know, the best thing about Disneyland, and it's talking about it. Oh, there's this $200 lightsaber. Oh, there's this $90 thing where you can customize R2-D2. There's this $80 thing, and I was like, that was the only thing that kept on going. You have to pay, buy this, $200.
So it's already paying to get into Disneyland, which is almost $200 now. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, there's extra fees.
Yes. You can't go to all those unless you actually pay for it, you know?
That's the cash grab. So I get it. If you are... I mean, as a fan, it seems like it would deter me from liking things like that, you know? Where I already enjoyed when I went... I literally just went a month ago. And there was a section in Tomorrowland where they had small... they had some props. They had detailed models. And then they had... costumes, and then you can get to meet people dressed up in their costumes, and that's fun. And that was maybe it's more fun because it was free. But the fact that it was like they had, like, you know, the lightsaber umbrella, I was like, well, $75, that doesn't seem too ridiculous to me. And but it was more or less a mini museum, and then so I'm thinking from everything that I've seen so far that it's just a giant museum right now. With interactive props, and eventually we'll have rides. So,
but then that's the only thing. Though. There's only planned two rides.
Yeah,
and it really is. Most of it is the attraction, the things you can buy, things you can purchase, and look around. And you know, and I think that's where my frustration comes in. And Harold kind of points it out, is that, you know, it seemed like this is really literally geared for, you know, Star Wars people. Which is cool. You know, I love Star Wars, but I'm not going to go there just for Star Wars. I'm going to go there because of my daughter, because I want to actually experience, you know, Disneyland. Which, have you guys been to Disney World before?
No. Yeah. In Florida? No, I haven't.
I've been outside of Disney World before. But that's
the thing I love. That's the thing I loved about Disney World and Disneyland in particular also, before they started kind of Marvelizing and like Star Warsizing.
Star Warsing.
Is that you? Here you are, as Harold kind of pointed out, it's Walt Disney's, no matter what you think, good or bad of Walt Disney, he had this vision of this family-friendly thing. And it just seems like all of a sudden, especially the one in California, it's been invaded by non- family friendly things, you know. That was the cool thing when I went to Disney World. You know, you go inside this place, and it was a smaller world than smaller place than Disneyland. But yeah, smaller. Thank you. But it's still, you were enclosed. If you wanted to go to Epcot Center, you had to get out, and then you had to go back in there. So now, you know, at least for me, I part of me was like, dude, why couldn't you have done this in California Adventure? Well, you know, so that it would have been totally separated thing. Because that's, at least before Star Wars, that's actually what happened. Yeah, you did have a ride for, and they changed Star Tours into, you know, into Star Wars, the Star Wars theme. It's actually always been Star Wars. Mm-hmm. But there was always that difference. It was mm-hmm. like California Adventure is one thing. Disneyland is one thing. But now it just seems like I'm going to pay $200. I'm already paying more just because of Star Wars. And now I'm going to have to pay more money just to be able
to get the full experience. Yeah. Like, it's like the experience itself doesn't seem so bad if it's part of it already, but having to pay the extra is what's kind of like the topper for me. And in terms of really turning me off to this experience, just, I think it's right now, it's just the initial experience, because it just opened. By the time you guys share this, it'll be less than 2 weeks since it's opened. And I've seen so many people, like, on my Instagram feed, on my Twitter feed, on my Facebook feed, nothing, I mean, no hate against any of those guys at all, but I promised myself, I was like, I'm not going to hit this thing probably for another year or two, because I love Star Wars, but I don't need to be there, you know. I mean,
opening,
like, yeah. Yeah, it's like, yeah, I waited 14 hours to watch Phantom Menace, but I don't want to wait an hour to go watch, you know,
okay. Star Wars. Fool me once, man.
Yeah, shame on
you. Fool me twice. Damn it. Fine, I'll get in line.
Fool me twice. Get a life.
Fool me thrice. Yes, I saw Revenge of the Sith.
It's a great date movie.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. I totally agree with Dennis here. I mean, like, I see where you're coming from. Like, where is that, you know, the ironic thing is whenever they do, or Disney, I mean, or Pixar, whenever they do these movies about, you know, the creative process and how art and, you know, or maybe even cooking or anything like that, you know, it's supposed to be about the product, or it's supposed to be the art. It's not about the profits or whatnot. And it's, the irony is that, yeah, here comes Disney. It's like, yes, enjoy the beautiful art that these Imagineers have made, but at the same time, hey, fork over your $100 or literally your entire paycheck. Because, yeah, you're right. Like, you know, you and I are obviously parents. Whenever we plan for these Disneyland trips, it's not just a ticket that we got to budget for. We got to budget literally like twice of whatever it is that we're paying for, because you can't, I mean, you can, but you can't disappoint your kids when they say, hey, Dad, I want that lightsaber. It's like, okay, it's like the $100 one, there's a $40 one over there.
You also want it at the 99 cent store.
Or, exactly, or if you wait in the car. We can go around the...
Which is always my parents' answer to me.
It's like, we'll go to the outlets.
There's a guy outside selling it for $2.
Yeah, exactly. You don't need that Dodger hat, wait for the guy outside. But so I see the irony of it. Like you said, it's, you know, their movies preach the good word of, you know, be creative for the sake of creativity. Don't worry about, you know, the profiteering and whatnot. And, you know, and here they are, like, flipping, you know, these wonderful creative licenses where universes and worlds are created. And, you know, it's at the end, it's like, yeah, give us a dollar, give us your money. And it's a little rough to kind of compensate for it in my head. You know, it's hard for me to kind of justify it. And, you know, it's to the point where, yeah, I'm almost jaded to the whole process. I'm like, I kind of don't want to do it anymore. Like, if I'm going to go to a theme park, I want it to be interactive. I want it to be all inclusive. So, you know. That's why, you know, Six Flags is kind of went up my power ranking list, so, because it's all inclusive for the most part.
And that's my dilemma right now, is that part of me, the adult says, you know, hell no, I'm not gonna fork over that much money, you know, because it's not just not if you think about it, it's not just Star Wars: Galaxy's Edge, but the bleed out effect of it, that since there's so many people now going to Galaxy's Edge, that means that those people are also going to be going to the rides that we love. So that's going to be more people, and you know, the more people there are now, Disneyland has been doing the different pricing for tickets depending on when's available for you. Well, you know, I'm a freaking teacher. It's like when people go, oh, you should travel when it's cheaper. I'm a teacher. I can't travel, you know, when it's cheaper. It's the same thing. I know for a fact I'm going to be going there on days that it's going to be more expensive. And that's for me, that's the biggest frustration, is that I want to boycott it, but my daughter just recently has actually asked that question. Hey, Daddy, when are we going back to Disneyland? And I'm like, aren't you happy with Knott's Berry Farm?
Like, we went, so my family, every couple of years we do like these, well, it's kind of a new tradition, but we've been doing these big family trips to Disneyland. And it's mainly because my cousins have younger kids, and they're like, okay, we want to experience Disneyland with the whole family. And as the one single uncle, it's kind of always weird. It's like, I guess I'll ride these rides. And then, I mean, when I was younger, it was like, yeah, Disneyland. And still to this day, I still love Disney stuff, so I'm able to enjoy that part of the thing. But it's like such a task. I mean, the prices, I guess they're reasonable. But I get people, I mean, I know there's always that argument where people always, like, I remember before people used to ask you, they're like, why do you have an annual pass to Disneyland? And Dennis would say, because my daughter loves it. So he's like, I'll do anything for my daughter. And yes, this is a good judge of character for who Dennis really is. Apparently he doesn't love her enough anymore.
I know.
He canceled that stuff.
He loves her this much. I'm doing the handstand. I'm sorry.
He loved her until about 4 years ago. And then he's like, yeah, you're okay. Yeah. But it's like, I don't knock people for getting annual passes. If that's what they want to do and they have the time to do it, you know, more power to you. For the people like me, where it's like, we don't go all the time, and going is a big an event.
Mm-hmm.
That would be, I mean, it adds to that, where it's like, now we have finally something new to see that I didn't see last time. Because it has been, you know, pretty much the same old in Disneyland for a long time now. And finally getting to see something different. Although, yeah, if you're going to ask me to start paying for extra, that's not going to happen. Yeah. So.
Well, to kind of give you a perspective of this. You know, my wife and I have been trying to figure out, you know, let's plan out a trip to Disneyland. And this is how bad it is. I was like, okay, how about we get annual passes? Okay, fine. I looked at it and I was like, you know, I can do a 7-day trip to Hawaii, you know, flight, a hotel, car, and I'd be paying less.
Oh, wow.
You know,
okay.
Same thing. I was like thinking about, okay, how about we do one, you know, like those two day thing. The hopper things. I was thinking about with everything that's gonna cost me, it's gonna be close to $1,000. You know,
that's because you have a family.
Yeah, because I have a family. I'm like, son of a, you know, and I get it. It's a company. The reason there is for profit. But it's funny that I kind of go back to it. One of their properties is Simpsons, and they've been so famous for ridiculing Disneyland.
Yeah.
Disney for exactly what they're doing. And all of a sudden, you know, I was watching this episode. I forget what the name of the episode, but there's a Disneyland where the Simpsons go there. And everything that we kind of talked about, like all these stupid money grabs, that's exactly what Simpsons is talking about. So it's going to be interesting how things are going to be going.
Like Duff Gardens.
Or Itchy and Scratchy Land. Yeah, I cannot wait for that. Yeah. I hope they open that in California Adventure. Like, at Duff Beers.
So my thing is, like, it's weird to me that a lot of the properties that Disney now owns, there's a lot of attractions that you still see at Universal Studios.
You're right. Yeah, that's
like,
true.
I remember the last time I went to Universal, there was a lot of Marvel stuff. Like, when we'd be hanging out, there'd be Marvel characters that would come in. I'm like, oh, because Disney owns Marvel movie rights, mm-hmm. they don't own Marvel character rights. So as long as they don't look like they're too much like their movie counterpart, then they're fine. So yeah. it's like you literally like Thor with a big, like really blonde hair and a giant helmet, crazy helmet and everything. And then, but the whole Simpsons land.
Yeah, it's at Universal. Springfield's, I don't know, like, that'd be interesting. Or, you know, maybe you're just seeing the future and Disney's just going to buy Universal.
No, dude.
That would be horrible. That's when you got to, like, pump the brakes and just be like, all right, this is a little too much.
So one of the main problems that I had, not main problem, but just when we went to Disneyland was me and my cousin, who works in the movie industry, literally having to point out and go, we forget that they own all these properties. And, like, and we haven't discussed this yet, but I know we're going to do soon, is, you know, that whole, they're tearing down that One Piece in California Adventure to make it into Avengers Land and right. everything, or Marvel Island or whatnot.
I don't Disney know presents to. Marvel presents yeah. Avengers Land.
So I mean, yeah, that's literally what's gonna be, and it's like
DPMP.
I feel like that whole back studio is gonna be just a flex on all these properties that we own. Yeah. You
know it'll be mean? Like Wreck-It Ralph 2, yeah. but like but, actual.
Yeah, yeah, like and there's no dirty porn section, but you know.
Again, imagine if they just actually, especially since there's the Hollywood land there, if they just made the California Adventure, one side of it all Avengers, one side of Marvel, one, and then
leave, see, they could do it,
and then leave Disneyland, Disneyland. You know, actually, you know, have the Pixar people move in there. Not, but that's fine.
Well, Pixar stuff's already at.
It's still California Adventure. Yeah. But, you know.
Oh, yeah. I say move it over to
yeah, Disney. Move it over okay. there. And just really make this like the other, you know, it's like the stepchild, but not really. You know, now you can have like, imagine you can have like all these Rangers there. You know, you have
did you say Rangers?
Yeah, because you already have.
Your daughter just tweets like, wow, is my dad trying to be cool again?
My daughter's twitching. She's bare on tongue. She's like, ow.
But actually, yeah, that's a great idea, because you know what? I forget, because it's been years since I've been to California Adventure.
Because
I can't afford it. But you're right. They turned California Pier into Pixar Pier.
Yeah.
So like what Harold's saying, like they're already flexing it. Like, here's Pixar. Like, this is our, you know, those movies that made you laugh and cry, this is us. And then, like, yeah, the next thing you know, they're going to have the Avengers Studios. And you're right. I think it would have been actually pretty clever if they just had, like, turned California Adventure into, like, Studio Land. Because then you could, I would love if they could do, like, because one of the things they have is, like, Aliens now and Terminators, if I'm not mistaken. Or one of those scary, you know, classic 80s horror flicks. Like, if they made like a haunted mansion or one of those Towers of Terrors with Aliens properties, or you know, the Freddy movies that the Fox owns, that'd be great. I think that'd be a great kind of like, you know, an adult version of Disneyland. Again, leave Disney to the families, make it more inclusive, make it the gateway for these young kids, because it's really hard for us parents, or you know, parents with young children, to help these kids have that vision of Disney if there's such a huge, you know, a huge barrier, you know, meaning a price point for you to even get in. So I don't know, but sorry.
It's gotten to the point, and so somebody pointed out online, it's gotten to the point that as long as you can find cheap tickets, it's actually less expensive to go to Disney World now.
Oh, really? That's just to fly to Florida?
Yeah, as long as you can find cheap tickets to it.
Is cost of living in Florida that much cheaper than California?
Probably. Okay, I guess the last thing, you know, I think it was Lewis or Held, I forget who pointed out, but, you know, just to kind of end it, you know, we're kind of, seems like we're dumping on Disneyland, which I kind of am. I love it. You know, as Harold pointed out, I used to have tickets, you know, now for me, it's like, do I want to feed my daughter, or do I want to go to Disneyland?
Are we eating a cup of ramen for a week, or do you want to go to Disneyland for 5 hours?
Yeah, so are you bringing your own garden hose to supply water at Disneyland? Which, because you don't want to pay $5 for a bottle.
Oh, I know.
Jeez, yeah, dude. Pretty much. You know, so I guess maybe a guide, you know, what are some of the, you know, what are some of the places, is there still any amusement park that is a safe haven for you or for your kid or for the kid that you might not know of?
I mean, we kind of alluded
to get that one.
No, I missed it. Sorry.
He was beholding his phone.
Yeah.
Beholding it. I still like Universal. Not to, I mean, we kind of mentioned it already. We are a podcast in the Valley. Universal Studios is the closest one that we have here. Recently, they've had a bit of a, you know, I think they've had a sale. And I like, you know, not to be elitist or whatnot, but yeah, my kids love Harry Potter. So they love Wizarding World. You know, it's a real, that's one of those really inclusive little lands, quote unquote, that, you know, it's very immersive and, you know, you really feel like you're in Hogwarts. And I think it's a really great little area. It's not too crowded. And you know, it's still pretty affordable. You know, if you're coming from the Valley or from LA, you can take the Red Line and the subway and just jump out there. You don't have to park at, you know, at Universal. So, one of my better recommendations.
And as, I don't know, as much as we talk smack about it, Disneyland still has to be the top.
All right, okay.
I love Universal Studios, but you can finish Universal Studios in 4 hours. Disneyland is a whole day experience and it is a whole family experience.
And you can't even do it in a day anymore.
You can't even, yeah. I mean, you literally have to get there. We got there at opening and we left at closing. We still missed a lot of things. So, I mean, it is a reason why everybody looks up to Disneyland as being the amusement park of, like, the world. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy that, I mean, we're lucky enough to have it about an hour away.
Right.
And, yeah, it's pricey, but... It, for me, it's not, like I said, it's not a thing that I go to all the time. So it's worth my money if I just go every 5 years, you know, and I spend $200.
You get to see different things every single time. It makes perfect sense. Yeah. For me, I agree. There's something magical about Disneyland. My favorite moment in Disneyland is when you walk into the park. The moment you get into, not Times Square,
Main Street.
The moment you're Main Street, and this is the reason why my wife and I bought those tickets initially, is that for some reason, when you walk in there, there's just this sense of calm, at least for me. I was like, man, no, I'm back. You know, and I really do miss that, that experience. But if we're talking about value, and I kind of mentioned it, Knott's Berry Farm, if you haven't been there lately, is actually pretty damn amazing. For three of us, for less than $700, maybe around $700-$800, you get, not only do you get the annual pass for Knott's Berry Farm, no blockout dates or anything like that. You get 20% off of food or anything along those lines. That already includes parking. But the cool thing is that with that pass, that it's called the Gold Pass, you actually get access to Soak City also.
Nice. So, okay. Summer's coming up, so there you go.
That's exactly. So my wife and I, last year we got the pass, and during the summer I think we went like six different times, you know, and then at least went to Knott's Berry Farm. Is it the same thing? No.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather have Disneyland, to be honest with you, but you still get a chance to ride rides. You get still a chance to go to a fair environment. So, you know, unless Disneyland is planning on buying out the Peanuts brand,
it just might happen.
You know, at least it's like, I hate to say it, it's like a poor person's Disneyland. Yeah, you know? And you still get pretty much everything, but it's still pretty fun, at least for me.
You know, I feel disappointed with the last time. I keep saying the last time. I went a month ago. I'm disappointed in the fact that they're remodeling the Cinderella's castle.
Oh, no.
So oh, yeah, when that's we got right. There, I was that's like, right.
Is this some kind of a joke? Why is there a drawing of a castle?
All they have now is like a big, like 30, 40 foot.
It's a drawing.
Facade.
What are they doing?
They're just remodeling the whole thing.
Oh, okay. Thank God. I thought they were going to like transform into like Naboo or something.
Queen Amidala's Palace.
The Mustafar, yes.
But it was literally, we went there and I was like telling one of my nephews, it's like his first time. No, sorry, it's not his first time, but he's like like really small. And I was like, oh man, this is my favorite part. We'll get to see the Starbucks. And we get to see the Starbucks on Main Street. I was like, dude, this is some.
Yeah, because that's like everybody's obligatory photo is in front of the castle.
Yeah, that's where people get engaged.
That's, you know, true.
And it's like now that
so engagements gone, went down like 100%.
Yeah, but
this
they're
year.
All like at Galaxy's Edge now, where it's like,
oh god,
will you take this chess piece?
Freezing.
Wow. Okay. And I love the fact that we end with these like really terrible jokes, but we'll keep it a tradition now. So that's it for us today. You know, It seems like I've been the negative Nancy lately. Actually,
I have.
Harold was the negative Nancy last time.
Hateful Harold.
HHH. We still need to figure out what the third H is.
Hateful Harold.
I got the joke.
So, you know, I can't talk today. Harold?
Be calm. Bandwagon.
Ben Ragon.
Michael Keaton.
Shut up, dude. Dang.
Anything else? That's it.
That's all we get.
Two fanboys, one casual. They come.
Peace out. We thought we're really signing out of this. Well, follow us on Facebook. Two Fanboys and a Phil the Casual every time the podcast goes live, and any other fun news like Rob Patrick.
That's our fairies get their wings or something.
You're not Disney, man.
And then also on Twitter and Instagram at Two Fanboys, One Casual, where you can see pictures of me at Disneyland.
Good idea.
With my imaginary family.
Forking his money out.
Yeah.
Yeah, fork it, Disney. Fork it good.
I'm a character from an evil corporation.
I hope they have Bort license plates.
Did you say your spiel already?
I did.
Okay. Well, that's it for us today. Sorry. I was still enraged. You know, that's it for us today. As usual, if you enjoyed our podcast, please like us. You know,
in real life. Can you just walk up to me and then just give me a thumbs up?
I'm attaboy. A pat in the back. Just three pats.
Yeah, a Rob pat in the back.
Pat man. Okay, that's it for us today. As usual, this is Dennis.
This is Bort.
He got me on that one.
Two fanboys out.
Just two fanboys out.